Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers. You send in your questions, and we try to do our very best in answering those gospel-centered questions. You can email us anytime at radio@ldschurch.org. We got an email from Emily. Emily lives in Michigan, and Emily writes, "I'm so thankful for this Thanksgiving holiday. Could you do something on gratitude for me?" That's a great question, and we would love to be able to do something on gratitude for you, Emily. I know that there are many things that I'm grateful for, especially Thanksgiving. Around Thanksgiving, you think about eating dinner with family and friends and sitting down and having turkey and sweet potatoes and pumpkin pie and all of the great things. It's also important to remember all the things that you're grateful for and to be able to thank God, our Heavenly Father, for all the blessings that He imparts to us, whether it's for your family, whether it's for your job. Maybe it's the love of a spouse, or maybe it's your home. Whatever it is that you're grateful for, it's important to thank Heavenly Father every day. Gratitude is a feeling of appreciation and thankfulness for the blessings or benefits that we've received. As we cultivate a grateful attitude, we are more likely to be happy and spiritually strong. We should regularly express our gratitude to God for blessings that He gives us and to others for the kind acts that they do for us. President Thomas S. Monson in the October 1998 General Conference said the following.
In a land far away and at a time long ago, Jesus journeyed to Jerusalem. He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." From the 30th Psalm, David pledges, "O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." And the Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the Corinthians, proclaimed, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And to the Thessalonians, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." My brothers and sisters, do we give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift and his rich blessings so abundantly bestowed upon us? Do we pause and ponder Ammon's words? "Now, my brethren, we see that God is mindful of every people, whatsoever land they may be in. Yea, he numbereth his people over all the earth. Now this is my joy and my great thanksgiving. Yes, I will give thanks unto my God forever." Robert W. Woodruff, a prominent business leader of a former time, toured the United States giving a lecture which he entitled, "A Capsule Course in Human Relations." In his message, he said that the two most important words in the English language are these: thank you. Gracias, danke, merci, whatever language is spoken. Thank you, frequently expressed, will cheer your spirit, broaden your friendships, and lift your lives to a higher pathway as you journey toward perfection. There is a simplicity, even a sincerity, when thank you is spoken.
We're talking about gratitude. Emily from Michigan wrote in and said, "I'm so thankful for this Thanksgiving holiday. Could you do something on gratitude for me?" Well, Emily, the Lord has promised, "He who receiveth all things with thankfulness shall be made glorious." That's from Doctrine and Covenants 78, verse 19. Gratitude is an uplifting, exalting attitude. People are generally happier when they have gratitude in their hearts. We cannot be bitter, resentful, or mean-spirited when we are grateful. President Marion G. Romney talks about this in the October 1982 General Conference.
King Benjamin, as recorded in Messiah in the Book of Mormon, admonished his people, "Oh, how you ought to thank your heavenly King. I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all the thanks and praise which your whole soul has power to possess to that God who has created you and has kept and preserved you and has caused that it should rejoice and has granted that ye should live in peace one with another. I say unto you that if ye should serve him who has created you from the beginning and is preserving you from day to day by lending you breath that ye may live and move and be do according to your own will and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say if ye should serve him with all your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. I believe, said President Joseph F. Smith many years ago, that one of the greatest sins of which the inhabitants of the earth are guilty today is the sin of ingratitude, the want of acknowledgement of on their part of God and his right to govern and control. We see a man raised up with extraordinary gifts and or with great intelligence, and he is instrumental in developing some great principle. He and the world ascribe this great genius and wisdom to himself. He attributes his success to his own energies, labor, and mental capacity. He does not acknowledge the hand of God in anything connected with his success, but ignores him altogether and takes the honor to himself. This will apply to almost all the world. In all great modern discoveries in science, in the arts, in mechanics, and in all the material advancement of our age, the world says, "We have done it." The individual says, "I have done it." And gives no honor and credit to God.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. Thank you for tuning in to radio.lds.org. We're doing questions and answers. You send in your questions. We try to answer those questions. Emily wrote in and said, "I'm so thankful for this Thanksgiving holiday. Could you do something on gratitude for me?" There's so many things to be grateful for, Emily. Thinking about the things that you can see with your eyes and the things that you can hear with your ears, the smells of Thanksgiving and the smells of the holidays. We should always be thankful for wonderful blessings that are ours and the tremendous opportunities that we have. We can be thankful to our parents and our family and friends and teachers. We should express appreciation to everyone who has assisted us in any way. In October 1998 General Conference, President Thomas S. Monson talks about the importance of a sincere thank you.
I would like to mention three instances where I believe a sincere thank you could lift a heavy heart, inspire a good deed, and bring heaven's blessings closer to the challenges of our day. First, may I ask that we express thanks to our parents for life, for caring, for sacrificing, for laboring, to provide a knowledge of our Heavenly Father's plan for happiness. From Sinai, the words thunder to our conscience. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I know of no sweeter expression toward a parent than that spoken by our Savior upon the cross. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Next, have we thought on occasion of a certain teacher at school or at church who seemed to quicken our desire to learn, who instilled in us a commitment to live with honor? The story is told of a group of men who were talking about people who had influenced their lives and for whom they were grateful. One man thought of a high school teacher who had introduced him to Tennyson. He decided to write and thank her. In time, written in a feeble scrawl, came the teacher's reply. My dear Willie, I can't tell you how much your note meant to me. I'm in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and like the last leaf lingering behind. You will be interested to know that I taught school for 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I have ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has for years. We owe an eternal debt of gratitude to all of those past and present who have given so much of themselves that we might have so much ourselves. Third, I mention an expression of thank you to one's peers. The teenage years can be difficult for the teens themselves, as well as for their parents. These are trying times in the life of a boy or a girl. Each boy wants to make the football team. Each girl wants to be the beauty queen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Could have an application here. Let me share with you a modern-day miracle which occurred a year or so ago at Murray High, right near Salt Lake City, where every person was a winner and not a loser was to be found. A newspaper article highlighted the event. It was entitled, Homecoming Shows True Spirit. Students elect two disabled girls to Murray royalty. The article began, Ted and Ruth Iyer did what any parents would do. When their daughter Shelley became a finalist for Murray High School Homecoming Queen, they counseled her to be a good sport in case she didn't win. They explained only one girl among the 10 would be selected queen. As student body officers crowned the school's homecoming royalty in the school gym Thursday night, Shelley Iyer experienced instead inclusion. The 17-year-old senior, born with Down syndrome, was selected by fellow students as homecoming queen. As Ted Iyer escorted his daughter onto the gym floor as the candidates were introduced, the gym erupted into deafening cheers and applause. They were greeted with a standing ovation. Similar standing ovations were extended to Shelley's attendants, one of whom, April Pershawn, has physical and mental disabilities resulting from a brain hemorrage, suffered when she was just 10 years old. When the ovations had ceased, the school vice principal, Glo Merrill, said, Tonight, the students voted on inner beauty. Obviously moved, parents, school administrators, and students wept openly. Said one student, I'm so happy I cried when they came out. I think Murray High is so awesome to do this. I extend a heartfelt thank you to one and all who made this night one ever to be remembered.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A at radio.lds.org. If you would like to send us an email or a question so that we can answer it on the air, you can reach us at radio@ldschurch.org. We look forward to hearing from you. There's so many things to be thankful for at this Thanksgiving season. Good food, family, friends, loved ones. We should also thank our Heavenly Father for His goodness to us by acknowledging His hand in all things, thanking Him for all that He gives us, keeping His commandments, and serving others. We should especially thank Him for His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, for the Savior's great example, for His teachings, and for His outreaching hand to lift and help, and especially for His infinite atonement. Elder Dallin H. Oaks talks about the Savior in the April 2003 General Conference.
The children of God have always been commanded to give thanks. There are examples throughout the Old and New Testaments. The Apostle Paul wrote, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The prophet Alma taught, "When thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God." And in modern Revelation, the Lord declared that he who receiveth all things with thankfulness shall be made glorious, and the things of this earth shall be added unto him even an hundredfold. We have so much for which to give thanks. First and foremost, we are thankful for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Under the plan of the Father, He created the world. Through His prophets, He revealed the plan of salvation with its accompanying commandments and ordinances. He came into mortality to teach and show us the way. He suffered and paid the price for our sins if we would repent. He gave up His life and He conquered death and rose from the grave that we all will live again. He is the light and life of the world. As King Benjamin taught, if we should render all the thanks and praise which our whole soul has power to possess to that God who has created us and has kept and preserved us, and should serve Him with all our whole souls, yet we would be unprofitable servants. We give thanks for the revealed truths that provide a standard against which to measure all things. As the Bible teaches, the Lord gave us apostles and prophets for the perfecting of the saints. We use the revealed truth they give us that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Those who view every calamity and measure every new assertion or discovery against the standard of revealed truth need not be tossed to and fro, but can be steady and at peace. God is in His heavens, and His promises are sure. "Be not troubled," He has said to us, concerning the destructions that will precede the end of the world. "For when all these things shall come to pass, ye may know that the promises which have been made unto you shall be fulfilled." What an anchor to the soul in these troubled times. We give thanks for commandments. They are directions away from pitfalls, and they are invitations to blessings. Commandments mark the path and show us the way to happiness in this life and eternal life in the world to come.
Thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. It's an opportunity that we have to ask you to send in your questions, and we try to answer those gospel-centered questions the best that we can. Emily, thank you so much for your note today, and thanks again for listening to the Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.